Welcome to the Shooting Blanks Wrestling Report. I am the big guy Ryback, joined with Raj Giri of WrestlingInc.com. Couple week hiatus, a little break for the new year. Happy 2021, Raj.
Yeah, happy 2021 to you too. It's so far starting off like 2020, but hopefully things get better.
We had 5 days we had a promising 5 days until day six, and then it
just went nuts.
Yeah, I think I'm going to predict the aliens at some point this year. Godzilla, I think, are going to be the two that appeared this year.
Well, I mean, what else is left? I think you might be onto something.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, a lot has happened since we last recorded. Brody Lee tragically passed away. And gosh, that feels like months ago. But you know, obviously our condolences and to the fans and friends of Brody Lee. Lots of Brody Lee stories outpouring from just everyone in the industry. And so a really sad story.
No, absolutely. And I knew him, you know, this just popped in my head the other day, cause I put out all my stuff and he was so loved, and it makes me feel good to see all the outpouring of love and support from the family and, you know, little Brody and everything. AEW just went above and beyond, I think, and they're going to continue to do so. I could just by how they're to just make this as comforting as possible and keeping, you know, the family busy. Cried many times watching multiple things. And I had a history with him and from wrestling and just behind the scenes. And I'm not overly close with like a lot of guys or anything of that nature, but I always got along really well with him. I actually felt bad. This popped in my head the other day. I was thinking, cause every time I see something, you start thinking back, you'll like, it's, you know, I guess when you like just remember things that you'd forgotten about or just like little like situations. And every time I see something with him, something new seems to pop in my head, and it all good, like all good stuff. And, but I remember I feel so bad about this now, because who would have ever predicted, but Dolph, you know, me and Dolph always, whenever Dolph's in Vegas, we typically get together or whenever we can. And if we don't, it's usually my fault because I'm so far away. They had a SmackDown here maybe, I don't know if it was like a year and a half ago, or it was when I was still running everything with Feed Me More Nutrition on my own. And it was when I was growing rapidly. So I was slammed, like doing all the work morning to night. And I felt bad because Dolph and Harper, Bobby Roode, Robert Roode, and I think there was one other person, they had SmackDown off. So they went to the Hooters down the Hooters Casino when it was still the Hooters Casino to get wings or whatever the new name of it is. But the Hooters Casino the restaurant was still in there. And I actually just got done training. I go, screw it, I'm going to come down and come see you guys. I hadn't seen them. I hadn't seen Harper in forever. And I'm way up north, and I get on the freeway, and this traffic is backed up all the way back to me, and I'm already 30 minutes away, and it was saying like it was an hour and 20 something minutes to get down there. And I had like orders, I can't 40, 50 something orders I had to package myself still for the day. So I'm in the freeway, I go, like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this, guys. And I get about halfway there, and the traffic, it was just at a standstill for about half an hour. And I don't know what was going on. And I just text Dolph. I go, and Harper, I go, I'm getting off the exit. I got to go home. I got to get work done. I can't, I know you guys don't understand. Like my life isn't like a simple wrestler life anymore where I could go get drunk at a, you know what I mean? Like it wasn't. Right. But I remember like Harper was, he was a little like upset over, but he didn't understand. But I feel bad now looking back, cause that was, would have been the last time I saw him.
Oh, wow.
And that was just something that, a sad kind of thing for, you know, that popped in my head, but there's all so many good memories. We got along and I talked to him prior, and it's just, you know, when you're out of the business, so you kind of lose contact with people too. And I didn't talk to him nearly as much as I did when I was there. So, but I mean, everybody, it's also great stories, and it's, Shocking. I sat there when I read it, when it literally, I saw it right when it came out from AEW, and I thought it was a joke at first. I go, is this some sort of storyline or something? Like,
right.
And I just sat there looking at it, and then I Googled, and nothing was coming up on Google. And I'm like, no, man. I saw the Kobe stuff, right when the Kobe stuff came out, before it was like confirmed anywhere else. And then you're just like, there's that moment of you're just like frantically searching, like, hoping to find something to say that it's not true. And it's something that I don't think he's ever going to be forgotten. He was such a great human being and great family man. I always talk, you know, Curtis Axel, how great of a family man Curtis Axel is. And like, he's right there. That's what I like. That's what Brody, and Heath's a great, great family man. And, just nothing but love. And that hurts. Because I was looking forward, I messaged his wife, and I said, man, that was one of the things I was looking forward to, was seeing him again and just busting each other's balls and joking around and laughing out by the ring. And those are the things you miss, and he's going to be mad. As you can see, he touched up. Like, you know what I mean? There's a lot of people don't know wrestling. It doesn't matter how you're booked or what, man. There's so much. Everybody's special, man, and he was special.
Yeah. Well, since then, this past week, it's kind of hard to transition from that.
No,
to,
I know.
You know, like Cardi B.
Yeah.
But this past Monday night on Raw, they had a Legends Night. It was basically a bunch of legends getting humiliated throughout the show by Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Finally, in the last segment, you did have Goldberg come out. And yeah. Goldberg got in Drew McIntyre's face. The timing was off because they were running long. So Drew McIntyre was supposed to cut a promo. We never got a chance to. So Goldberg got on the mic and he was like, you're talking smack about these legends. And so it was really confusing because he was doing the lines that were given to him and didn't exactly know how to improvise at that point, why he's there, because Drew never got to do that promo. So it led to an awkward moment, but nevertheless, it's Goldberg versus Drew McIntyre for the WWE Championship at the Royal Rumble. It was decided on just days earlier, so they just didn't have anything for Drew. It had been looking like, Goldberg and Roman Reigns have been kind of calling each other out, so it was almost looking like that might be the WrestleMania match, but they decided to pull the trigger on Goldberg versus Drew.
You know, I saw that, and I was baffled. I couldn't understand what was going on. Because Drew, I go, did I miss something where Drew was his kind of like was, you know what I mean? I don't catch all of the show. I go, did I miss something? But it wasn't, I watched a good part of that show. So I was lost during that. So that makes perfect sense hearing that on, you know, I feel bad for Bill in a way because WWE, man, and I'm telling you, I like Bill Goldberg and I met him I like Bill Goldberg. And WWE never liked him. This is coming from top people to me when I was there. Like, so unless they're just BSing, lying to me, like, I feel like sometimes, you know what I mean? Since he's come back, would you say Bill Goldberg, and this is having a family and coming back, I think the first Brock match was really caught everyone. I thought it was fire, the whole thing. It was had the intensity, and anytime you're in there with Brock, but since he's been back, specifically like these last 2 years, man, I don't think it's done him any favors. Now, money-wise, great. But I don't feel like that company goes out of their way to protect him in all the way. Like, that's a situation. Like, you keep the promo short and to the point. You think you're the next big thing. Whatever, I'm going to kick your ass. You got to go through me if you want to be the man around. I don't care what it is. The most bland, basic, boring promo, but have it at least where it doesn't make the guy look foolish for saying lines.
You're right.
That because now you're left scratching your head like that. I don't understand how that was allowed to happen or why it happened, but it did. And because it didn't make, I just was confused during all of it, but I don't know. WWE, man, with it. What are you doing? You're a 50-something-year-old guy. You know what I mean? And at what point? Like, there, how many? You got to build people up too. They've skipped over so many people, man. I just don't. I don't know. I want to see what they do with it. But Bill's not wrestling long matches. He didn't do it in his prime. Do you think he's going to start doing it in approaching 60?
Right.
So how many times can we see? And I get it. Like, he has his fans, and I think – but I think that's a more of a reflection of an overall state of the problem in WWE as a whole. And again, I love all the talent there and the wrestlers, and everyone makes the most of things like that. But, man, what a fumble that is, booking with all – I just think the whole thing. So.
Yeah, I mean, I would presume that Drew's going to win, and at least it's a good win for Drew. True. He's kind of beaten everybody. But, yeah, I mean, it just kind of goes to show that they're not creating their own stars to generate an interest, you know? It seems like the only opponent for Drew would be Roman or The Fiend right now, because they've kind of made everyone just another guy.
No, like we've talked about it. They have a huge problem on their hands. And I think what they're doing is panicking with Drew, trying to get Drew wins over some of the big names. We talk, you know, you always hear Bruce Pritchard and Conrad, they talk about the Hogan dust. Mm-hmm. I've talked about that with me and guys when I was in the ring with Cena and Punk and Jericho and top level guys. You get the rub from that, especially when you beat them. And like it carries over kind of like that. And they're losing. There's only so many. There's not a lot of guys left with that. All the old guys are done, right? And like Cena took off, took his ball, went to Hollywood, and so that never really got given back fully, and it probably never is, and that's fine. But you didn't build enough other guys,
right?
So now you're left with like that. There's not a lot of dust going around anymore, and I think that could be just it's a panic move to get Drew a win over a guy that's in the Hall of Fame. And but you know how Bill, you know, and we've heard stories with Bill creative wise. How many losses is Bill going to take?
Right.
So it's interesting to say the least.
Yeah. Cardi B. There was a reference that Tori Wilson made to Cardi B during a promo on Raw, and then all these people started tweeting her, and she's like, she admitted that she used to watch wrestling, said what a lot of people say, she doesn't watch it anymore. But that she used to, and then just started, you know, responding to a lot of different wrestlers who were tweeting at her, and that actually trended and got a lot of attention on Twitter.
Trying to get a piece of that 30 something million followers or whatever she has. Pick up a few new followers with that. No, it's good. Everyone should be tweeting at her.
Yeah. We mentioned the Royal Rumble with Drew and Goldberg. Right now, it seems like that the plan is for WWE not to have fans at the Royal Rumble. I think that's pretty obvious that as long as they're in this new Thunderdome setup, there's probably not going to be any fans. And this new Thunderdome setup basically goes until WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think that they're playing it safe. They have to with everything. And it's still – I mean, here we are, and we're approaching – you know, getting close to the halfway mark in January, and we still really everything with the vaccine and there's, I don't think there's still a lot of uncertainty with so many things. And so I think that's the safe bet for them, you know, financially and everything. They have found a way, Vince has found a way to keep making money, as all the rich people have during all of this, and have gotten richer. Mm-hmm. Why take a chance and gamble at this point? With anything that it's just play it safe. And I think they'll probably be one of the first ones that eventually, wrestling wise, with full crowds, I feel like they're always kind of on the forefront of everything and having the shows every week, anyways, and no off season. Will probably be one of the first sporting and entertainment places to have a full audience. It's just when that time is, who knows?
Yeah. On Raw, Matt Riddle, I guess just Riddle now, and Jeff Hardy, they're in a tag team, and WWE trademarked the Hardy Bros. And so that's the working tag team name. Matt Hardy, through a video on his YouTube channel, he said that Vince McMahon is so obsessed with the greatness and the popularity of the Hardy Boys, he created the Hardy Bros. And he's put together another guy named Matt with my brother to try and recreate the magic that we once had.
I love Matt Hardy and his social media, and I'm really a big fan of the current Matt Hardy, of everything he's putting out with all of it. I think that's great. There's not, but you know, WWE, that's clearly Matt Riddle's an entirely different character and wrestler, and it is you know, I think it gets people on the online wrestling community buzzing a little bit about it. And so I have no problem with it. You know, if Jeff, you know, I'm sure if they, any of them had a problem with it, they, Jeff would have said something, or maybe he wanted, I don't know. But I mean, it makes sense though, from a character standpoint, to call them that though.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
So it's hard to argue. It's a creative name. So, but Matt always has his finger on the pulse. And Matt knows that he's really good at putting out stuff that gets buzz and on relevant subjects. So he's, yeah. I'm a big fan of Matt, man.
Yeah, no, it's great. We'll get to the ratings here in a bit, but obviously this past Wednesday was a chaotic one in the news, and NXT presented one of their biggest shows in a long time. AEW also had a loaded show, but both shows clearly hurt big time by the news. I mean, CNN that night, they did their biggest ratings ever, even more than the election. But on Wednesday night, on Dynamite at the end, it featured Kenny Omega reuniting the Bullet Club.
Yeah.
Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson appeared, helped Kenny Omega attack Rey Fénix and some other baby faces at the end of the show. And the Young Bucks came out, and then the show ended with all of them doing the too sweet click sign. So, yeah, kind of a surprise ending. We haven't really seen much crossover with Impact and AEW outside of Omega's appearances on Impact. But, yeah, we had Gallows and Anderson on here.
Yeah, no, I think, again, it's doing something in wrestling that get people talking. And you got a lot of talent on the AEW roster, too. And I noticed, I feel like there are quite a bit of groups on AEW right now, which I actually am all for, because it's a way to get more talent on TV. And there's positives and negatives to it. But not everyone it can just be a singles guy on their own. And you need groups and clicks. And I think that is something I'm seeing with AEW a little more than we've seen maybe in WWE. Overall, in this whole crossover promotion, again, it's early on, but I think at least they're trying stuff, and that's all you can do, because that's the key. You just got to throw stuff against the wall sometimes, and this has worked in the past, and on not never on major TV like this. Sort of, I'm for it. I think, and to see what storylines can be developed out of it. And I've said this before, AEW, there's a lot of things that it takes time to kind of set up, and not everyone's always going to agree with everything. And I watch some stuff on there with certain characters, and I go, oh man, I wish they would do this with this person or this with that person. But it's not, I've learned, and it's like, again, when I'm back, I don't worry about what other people are doing. I worry about what I'm doing, because it's all you can do. You'll drive yourself crazy trying, and it's up to the talent to know and to speak up and to try to get their character as close to how they want it as possible if they have that freedom. But I think with this, we're going to see the setup of hopefully I want to see more stories in AEW still long-term and things. I think that I'm not a fan of cold matches happen. We're going to have cold, it's TV. You're going to have cold matches, but not everything can have a major storyline, but I definitely want to see more character development with some of the talent there. And, you know, they're giving people opportunities though. And it takes time. But the ratings, everything down, it was everything going on. Just got to hopefully keep building, and that's all they can do.
Yeah. Also on that episode of Dynamite, Snoop Dogg made an appearance. He was in Cody Rhodes's corner. At the end of the match, for, you know, no real reason, Serpentico and Luther came in and started attacking Cody, which led to Snoop getting involved. And it ended with Snoop going to the top rope and hitting his frog splash on Serpentico. It was probably the worst frog splash I've ever seen.
How old is Snoop Dogg, by the way? He's not young, right?
No, I think he's got to be like in his 50s. I mean, right? I was listening to Snoop in high school.
Yeah, no, he looks great still. Like, he's aged well.
Whoa, he's only 49.
Oh, wow, that's it?
Yeah, I guess he was really young when The Chronic came out in 93. And I guess I was my senior year.
Still, though, but he's 50. I'm close to 50. Right. I don't expect Snoop Dogg, and I'm sure there was very little training involved prior to this, unless they got a crash pad. But this is what I think it's a cool thing, a testament to wrestlers people don't understand. The easiest of looking things, like I used to do that frog splash all the time, and I had to cut back because I was doing it on live events a lot and being near 300 pounds. And like when you do that move to safely do it, not kill the guy, there's a way to do it, and you got to land on your knees, but you're flat still. So like when you land on your knees, you flatten out after. But it puts a huge burden on your body. If you notice how Snoop did that, he jumped down and landed on his feet and then kind of like folded on the guy with it. But in all seriousness, he should have done it like that, because if he would have came down on his knees and done it or just flat out on the guy, there's a good chance he probably would have hurt himself, not being a wrestler, not being trained, and not like and being at his age. Like that's just a testament to wrestlers. The easiest of looking moves that you think sitting on your couch watching at home, the impact it has on your body, every little thing, it's what makes wrestlers so special. But man, I thought it was a good thing. And we saw Snoop in WWE, and I never saw him go to the top rope. So I was, not to say that I want to ever see him go to the top rope again, but I appreciated it at the end of the day. If he would have done that at WWE, I would have appreciated it. Like I think it's a way it gets people. How many places do you think that was shown all over the weekend or all over the week here and on social media and different news, and probably rapping outlets, all the whole hip hop outlets and all that stuff. They all covered that probably with Snoop doing that, which is again good coverage for AEW to let people know they exist.
Yeah, anything you could get buzz and to get your name out there.
Yes,
as long as it's positive, for sure. Yeah,
exactly.
Nick Jackson had tweaked his leg during the opener of that episode of Dynamite. It looked scary at first, but it turns out it was only a leg contusion from landing hard on Evans during that match. And he's not expected to miss any ring time. So some good news. I think some people were concerned watching that.
Yeah, man. Anytime those guys wrestle, they do such – they take risk, man. And you know, a good thing is, you know, being a one day a week – as far as that schedule, even wrestling one day a week is extremely hard on your body and the things you do. That's why you don't see fighters fighting every week. And that's where I think wrestling, and I'm glad to see this change implemented away from the Vince schedule that never should have ever been a thing. But like doing that 5 days a week, that's why a lot of guys you see get burned out and have to tone it down in WWE. It's just because your body you can't recover with that. But those guys, they take – when you call the high risk moves are high risk for a reason, and you really want to be able to pick and choose on things for longevity too. But that's part of it. That's the style you choose to do, which they've made a career on it. and they've got this far. Like, it's really hard to change, and then they're exciting to watch. So it's every week when you're watching them, you never know, you know, and that can happen. You can say that for anyone in the world of wrestling, but it's definitely their style is a higher risk style for sure.
Yeah. Over on NXT, they had Rhea Ripley losing to Raquel Gonzalez, and also Damian Priest losing to Karrion Kross. Now, both Ripley and Damian Priest are expected to join the main roster shortly, imminently. Damian Priest was actually written in at one point to join the main roster on last week's SmackDown, come in as Kevin Owens' best friend out of nowhere, and wrestle in the tag team main event. It was going to be Priest and Owens against Reigns and Jey Uso. Kevin Owens apparently felt like the angle didn't really make any sense. It had nothing to do against Damian Priest, just the storyline. And Roman Reigns agreed with them, so it got nixed. But yeah, those two are ahead of the main roster. And Damian Priest, he's got the size and the look that you would think that Vince McMahon would want to push.
Yeah, and I think that's good for his case to probably have that nixed. And coming in as the best friend. So the guy, and he has a good look. He looks like a badass. Like it's kind of odd debuting somebody as somebody's best friend. That right. has no history, and I don't know if they have a history, but at least TV-wise, for their audience, the majority, you'd be like, what's going on? So now the good positive would be he would be put in a main event scenario right away, but usually when you're coming into that kind of role in that, you're going down from there rather than being built, because where do you go? It's really right. hard, and it's probably not being done to put him over Roman or anything of that nature. So I think that was a blessing for him that happened. And he will be welcomed into the world of WWE booking, where every week your life is a living hell, stressing out how bad they're going to ruin your career. And it's starting already. He hasn't even debuted and it's starting. But welcome to the WWE. That is what it is under Vince.
I mean, Damian Priest and Karrion Kross always seemed to me like they would be two guys that would receive a good push in WWE because of their size. But as we've seen time and time again, these NXT call-ups have not really worked out over the past couple of years outside of Drew McIntyre. And Drew McIntyre isn't really an NXT call-up. He was originally in WWE and came back.
You know, and I'm going to say something, and I'm not going to say who, and it probably wouldn't be impossible to figure out, but, and I talked to different people still, you know, obviously there, and there's somebody that's in NXT that I recently talked to, and that is so happy, and they're strictly just at NXT, and they said, he goes, when you're ready, I'm going to get you a meeting with Hunter so you guys can resolve your problems so we can bring you to NXT and have nothing to do with with Vince or actual up there. And I was told it's like two different companies, the way Hunter runs everything and the way Vince, and I've had my issues with Hunter over other things. And I just laughed like, oh yeah, that's not happening. But he goes, no, you don't understand. The people that used to be on the main roster that have like went to NXT, and that is a different main roster, but how they're doing it now, it's right. not quite the same. It's not the developmental that we always knew it, even though it's the direct link to developmental. But he was just saying how it's such a different, more positive, better environment with everybody down there than the main roster. And everybody, he says it. The guys that, like, you know, and the Fandangos that were on the main roster that are down there, and they're so much like happier, essentially, because of you're not dealing with the Raw and SmackDown bullshit. And that comes from Vince. Mm-hmm. And I've always said that whole atmosphere, and supposedly from what I'm being told is it's two different atmospheres. And I think that's why a lot of we're seeing a lot of NXT talent that are probably hesitant to want to go leave that to go to what I just talked about, because that's what it is. And two, you're dealing with guys that have been up there, like, you know, but luckily for Priest, you have a guy like Owens and Roman, like they have enough, they've been there long enough and have enough probably pull to give their two cents on the angle. And it's not being done to hold a guy back, or it's being done because it makes no sense.
Right.
And that's a positive. So I'm happy for him that he'll probably have hopefully a better opportunity to debut.
Yeah. In the ratings, SmackDown last week, they did 2.013 million viewers on Fox. It's down from what they've been doing, but it was also up against a big college football game.
Yeah.
But the week before, they did one of their best viewership numbers ever with 3.3 million viewers because they had an NFL lead-in. So whatever They clearly did not retain any of that audience that kind of stuck around and watched some of SmackDown from the week prior. But still, their numbers, you know, without the college football game, it probably would have been average or above average of what they've been doing.
Yeah, you know, having that lead in the week before was huge for them. And that, and you know, hopefully Fox, if they can continue to with football, you know, coming to an end here, it's not – it's tough. It's you want to be able to retain any time a portion at least of when you're getting a new audience seeing you like that, and it's just I really think with wrestling it's this level and lower that we're going to see until we get people back, and then it's then the question is going to be, well, how high does it go and how high does it stay once people are back?
That
I don't know.
Raw, they did their big Legends Night. They didn't have competition from Monday Night Football, which is over for the season. And they did 2.13 million viewers, which is up 20% from the week before. And it was up. It's still down 10% from what they did the same week last year, but it was their best number since March. So these Legends reunions usually draw. There was that one Raw 25 a couple of years ago, or a few years ago, that did 4.5 million viewers. So, so they did a good number. Next week, they're going to be up against the college championship game, which usually doesn't affect it as much as the NFL does for whatever reason. But we'll see where they are in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. And, it, you know, I think people, they tune in to see the people of the past. And, you know, ultimately, though, you want people tuning in to see the people there. As well, I think you're always going to get a boost with the Legends, as you should.
Right.
But I think you would like to see that audience retained the weeks after for your current talent. But it's not, it's more of a reflection of just the overall product and the things that we've seen. But I always like to tune into those and see the guys. And I said, I put out Tatanka, man, the guy's ageless. Tatanka is like the one guy. Boogie Man too, but Tatanka, man, when I was a kid, Tatanka was one of my favorites when he first came on the scene. I've always liked him. And then I remember he came back to SmackDown before I was in developmental, and he had that whole other run on SmackDown again. And I remember like thinking, like, God, this guy looks the same. He hasn't aged. And then you see him again here in 2021. And I'm like, man, Tatanka hasn't aged. I would have loved to see him have a match because he still works.
Yeah. Impact, they only did 148,000 viewers and a 0.04 rating. That was with Kenny Omega appearing once again. They had the best of episodes the last 2 weeks, but now they're kind of back to where they were pre-Omega, even though they got Kenny Omega appearing on the show. So that it seems like the AEW boost was good for a couple of weeks, and now they're kind of back to where they were.
Yeah, and I think it's just we're gonna have to see what, you know, it's the same people watching. It's like the it's that hardcore audience, right? Or the people, that's where you gotta. It's with wrestling has to start appealing to the masses again. And I've said this before, the best way to do that is you have to have your talent on social media promoting themselves and getting over on social media to gain regular people, to get regular people watching them on wrestling. Right. It's a very easy thing, but you have to give the talent the freedom and allow them the luxury of being reached. And I actually got a message, and I'm not going to say, from someone in WWE, a top star, who believes in, because I've talked about my social media being suppressed by WWE and put out the paperwork. It's 100% a fact. It's going on Instagram and Twitter. That got a message that believes, he goes, my Twitter hasn't grown in years at all. And he's very popular on other platforms, but on Twitter, it gets very little activity. And it's WWE and has control and works with these companies. They work hand in hand with these companies. WWE doesn't want their talent getting as over as they can on social media so they can control them, because they know it gives them opportunities. And I promise you, there is illegal activity going on where WWE has a lot of their social media accounts. Even though they'll do good when they're there, they don't get the engagement they would if WWE wasn't involved. I promise you that is a thing going on. And a talent reached out and actually said they believe that's what's going on. And it's a real thing. It's a very real thing that's going on. It's a real thing. That's why I have no association with them, which is why I'm furious, that they, because they've done it to try to limit my business and my growth on multiple things. And it's I can go on other platforms and get millions of views, but I can't get 100 likes on Twitter having 1.4 million followers. But it's that's the key, is getting over on social media, though, as talent. And these wrestling companies, in my opinion, need to be telling them, you guys need to go out and hustle on social media. Please get yourselves over non-wrestling related. Get as over as possible, and we can start getting these people watching our products overall. It's something I would like to see more of. And there are talents doing it. Sheamus, great. Sheamus does. And you find what you're passionate about, and you find your thing. I know Asuka does food videos too on YouTube and does well. Like, that's the key, though, is getting as much, and where you get as, you want to get millions of followers on there eventually, and you're going to get a portion of them that are going to come watch you do your wrestling thing. So,
yeah. My opinion. No, absolutely. Finally, AEW Dynamite and NXT. As I mentioned earlier, this was the day of the U.S. Capitol was invaded. So it was the news just did huge numbers. But AEW, they drew 662,000 viewers, down 32% from last week. NXT was up. They were up 9.4% to 641,000 viewers. But they did one of their, they did a low number last week. Again, last week was the Brody Lee, tribute show on AEW. So, you know, again, it's hard to take into account last week and this week's ratings just based on everything that was going on. So, but yeah, I think both those shows, clearly would have done a lot better on a normal week.
I agree. And I think we're just going to have to see as things unfold. For me, it's again, I want to see where AEW goes specifically for me when they have a full crowd back. And wrestling in general, WWE too, I want to see what wrestling does, how wrestling rebounds. This hurts everyone. Impact, I've watched Impact. They don't have anyone in there. It's really tough for me to watch when I saw some of this stuff, because I can't watch empty arena wrestling. It's just, I can't get into it. And I've done it, but I've done it. Like, in practice, it's not fun. So it's as far as from a viewing standpoint. But yeah, I think we're gonna have to see, and I would like to, hopefully these numbers go up when we get a full crowd back, and I hope that sooner than later. And man, again, hats off to every single wrestler that have performed for the past year in this situation for the better part of a year. It's a testament to how great wrestlers truly are. So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, Ryback, I have to get going. Are you gonna stick around or?
No, I got to get to. I got a real estate agent. I'm actually in the process. I found a brand new house in South Vegas, closer to everything, and the wrestling place I'll be going. And it looks like my cash out big on my house. So it's nice. I'm in the process of finalizing a few things with all that. So yeah, no. Awesome. Anything you want to plug to wrap up?
Yeah, keep checking out WrestlingInc.com. We have tons of exclusive interviews. We have Candice Michelle, who was advertised for the Raw reunion night, and she didn't show up. She wasn't on there. She talks about why. And tons of other interviews. The Von Erich kids, the Von Erich sons in MLW. So keep checking out WrestlingInc.com.
Good deal. Raj, I'm going to go ahead and let you go before I wrap up here. I know you got to take a call. So thank you very much, as always.
Thank you.
Have a good one. Bye, Raj. And guys, thank you very much for watching and listening to the Shooting Blanks Wrestling Report. Your iTunes reviews are greatly, greatly appreciated. The Ryback Show should be picking back up as normal next week with our guest Sunny Kiss joining me from AEW. And right now, guys, Feed Me More Nutrition available on feedmemore.com. You can save 20%. All of January here with discount code January20. I'm giving you a free Feed Me More Nutrition beanie and face mask with that, a $55 value. So check that out, guys. All yours free. We have new Feed Me More Nutrition shaker bottles, a limited supply of these new premium shaker bottles on feedmemore.com as well. Thank you very much for listening. You've just listened to the Shooting Blanks Wrestling Report. Feed Me More.